Good morning, church.
Good morning.
If you are from 10 until you are 35, would you just raise your hand if your age is between 10 and 35? Wish is good. You have a wish. All right. Now, we'll be talking about a subject that affects you the most, because you're in the stage of life that you are searching for friendship, searching for that particular person that will make your life better and not bitter. We all, as human beings, we are born to be social. It's part of our DNA. There are two things that I always mention to people. Human beings is social by nature. We also are spiritual by nature. And when we combine those two elements, that's when we build friendship that lasts forever. Okay? So it's very important for you to have this in mind. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. I noticed that in the military, they like this verse. We have some people here that wears the uniform. We thank you for your service. But I have been told that it is one of very common verse, at least for the Marines. They said that they know this verse, and they says, the greatest love that you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. Amen. I will give my life for you. And when you go into battle and have that kind of mentality, I watch your back. I'm here for you. This is the same mentality that we have to have as Christians, Amen. As followers of Christ. We have to have the same commitment to give our lives to each other. Some of you, I don't know any of you that if you have read past history about Christianity, how so many thousands, millions of people end up losing their lives only to preserve the faith that we have, the right to believe. The Bible that you carry in your hand, if you squeeze, it probably will be, blood will come out of it, because how many people gave their lives for us to have this privilege? Friends that we never met, but by God's grace, we'll see them. When our best friend will come to take us to meet all the friends that gave us the right that we have today. So when you think about friends, don't think only about those that are right beside you or somebody that is just a phone call away, but think about also those that have never met you, but they gave their lives so that you can have what you have. Today's message is friendship. You realize there will be a little twist to it, because the whole topic is not going to be about friendship the way we most of the time discuss friendship. True friendship is what? Is very rare. But it is a very precious gift. Key elements of friendship. Of course, friendship is a choice. You cannot impose friendship in people. Sometimes, I don't know if you have met people that try to be your friend, almost like demand to be your friend. And for some reason, things don't go along. And you cannot, but the person insists, the person calls, the person visits, and you're about to get up in bed, and here is the person. You look on the phone, and here's the person calling. And there are people that are so desperate, and they really go an extra mile to try to tell you, I need your friendship. But friendship is a choice. Unlike family, that you don't pick them, you're just born on with, you know, in that home. Your friends, you must choose them. And because you choose them, you're responsible for the relationship to sustain. Mutual trust. It's not possible to be a friend of anyone if you don't trust the person. You may call a friend, but you realize later on that it's not really a friend. Unless there is mutual trust, friendship does not grow. I believe that you can count on each other and share feelings safely. Shared experiences. When we have more things in common, it's much easier for us to be friends, right? Because you almost like look in the mirror and see an image of yourself. The more things you have in common, the better and easier is to walk together. I don't know if you have experienced this, but if you live here in the United States and then you travel to another part of the world, and you go to this area that you don't expect to find anybody that speaks English there. You know, it's maybe in Africa, maybe in like Brother Jet said, back home, everybody's talking not English, but talking a different language. But imagine that you, as you travel, and you go in a place where you don't expect anybody, and then you hear somebody speak English. It sounds like music. Then you say, "Is it really?" You tried to, yes. And then you hear something. The person said, "Vista." And then, I know, it could be Chula Vista. It could be something Vista. But Vista, Vista? And then your ears start growing just like a rabbit. It'll go, you really want to real. And then a person says, the Seventh-day Adventist. Now, the more things you hear that is common to you, the more you inclined to take a step closer to that person. You seek relationship with somebody who has something in common with you. Share experiences. Spend time together through good and difficult times. Friends are friends when they stay around on the hard times. If they move away, they are not your friends. They're just pretending, so be careful. Empathy and respect. It's not possible to be a friend of anyone if you don't respect. Understanding each other's feelings and respect personal limits. That's friendship. Those are key elements, and I hope you make copies of them and check. You know, if you want to find out if somebody really is committed to be your friend, or if you are committed to be a friend, take a picture. Yes, remember, friendship is a choice. That's the most important aspect for you to start any relationship. You cannot impose relationship. It is a matter of choice. And then, trust is an element that cannot be missing. You cannot miss that. It's important to have a trust. That is also in the best friendships that we have, our spouses. And remember, if you live in a country where you don't choose your spouse, somebody chooses for you, that's a different issue. But usually we choose our spouses, and then we have a mutual trust, and we share experience. And of course, there is no relationship, marriage, if there is not empathy and respect between them two. So this applies in every aspect of friendship. Why friends matter. Emotional support. Every human being, even if you are male, very proud, and you say, no, I am super macho, I don't need anything. Yes, every human being needs emotional support. Good friends make hard times easier and good times much more fun. Personal growth. True friends encourage you to learn, to change, and grow into a better person. That's what friendship is all about. Health and values. Many people want to have friendship, but they are careless with the values. There's no possible for you to have a true friendship if you don't share values, if you don't value things together. Having strong social bonds reduces stress and increases a sense of safety and also belonging. Now, Have you noticed that in the end of friendship there is a hip? And true friends are joined by the hip. That's what makes a true friend. It's like wherever you go, I have to be there too. Join at the hip. Definition: to have a close relationship with somebody. That's what is friendship all about. In which the two people spend a lot of their time together. Why? Because they are joined at the hip. Joined at the hip means two people are extremely closed. You cannot separate them. Or they are constantly spend time together. They find all sorts of reason. Yes, that's true friendship. Close companionship. That is friendship. I hope that just a little thing you won't forget about. Every time you see friendship, it says tied to the hip. That is really, here's one, Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25. Contemporary English version says this. Don't befriend people controlled by anger. Don't associate with hot-tempered people. Some people get into relationship with people that are constantly on fire. And when they get close, they start getting burned as well. Why do you do this? Why are you getting involved with somebody that's going to burn you out? There are people that are constantly very abusive, the way they talk. Sometimes they are beside you and they talk bad about somebody else. Wait, it will come your turn. When somebody's beside you and always talking trash about other people, believe me, if the garbage has a lot of things inside, eventually you're going to get some in your way too. Move away from the garbage or you're going to smell like one. Get out. Otherwise, you learn their ways and become trapped. You become just like what you contemplate every day. You see somebody sitting in front of a television or a computer and watch something destructive over and over and over and over again. That eventually will affect you. So the same thing is relationship. If you are with somebody that is constantly abused, if you don't change, it will change you. Wise friends make you wise. But you hurt yourself by going around with what? Fools. Just common sense. Use that brains that the Lord... You know, some people think that brains are inside of the head just so the head will not be empty. No, brains have a reason to be there. Is to be used. Be wise. Choose wise friends. A friend loves at all times. Not just in good times, but also in the hard times. A true friend gets closer when things are more difficult. When somebody says you're a friend and you lose your job and the person is gone because he's always going to ask me for financial. That was not your friend. There are some people, sometimes as a pastor, a few times it happens that somebody came to the church, was baptized, and looks like it was on fire, and then suddenly the person stopped coming to church. We call the person had a different excuse all the time not to come to church. Eventually, the person leaves the faith. And somebody will say, oh, that individual, he's an ex-Seventh-day Adventist. He used to be a member. A person who comes to Christ and leaves Christ has never been with Christ. a person who claims to be a Seventh-day Adventist and then abandon the faith, it has never truly been one. Because when you are one, you are forever. When you are with Christ, is forever, is a commitment forever. The same way your friend Christ made a commitment to you forever. That's what it is. A true friendship is forever. A friend loves you at all the time, and a brother helps you in time of trouble. Yes, and it is good to have a brother that is also your friend. That makes even better. Last week, we talked about Jesus Christ spending 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. Many people don't understand that he did not go there to be tempted. Many people think, oh, Jesus went to the desert to be tempted. No, he did not. That was not the purpose why he went to the desert. He went to the desert to prepare himself because he was now in a mission to find friends. That was his entire ministry. His ministry was to find friends and to show to us, to human beings, that we have the best friend ever. Our Creator is our friend. So he spent there 40 days and 49 when he was very weak. Of course, the devil came and offered him some suggestions. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. After this, he was hungry. The devil came to Jesus to tempt him. And you know the story because we shared this last week. Jesus said to the devil, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written in the scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." In order for you to be a friend of God, you cannot have a divided heart. You cannot try to please two lords at the same time. Jesus Christ said that. So it's very important. When you have loyalty to God, your Creator, then you cannot share that loyalty with anything else. I have seen, and I'm going to sound political, but that's not my intent. And it breaks my heart when I see some people that work so hard, find one way to come to the United States. And then here in the United States, instead of being thankful to God for this opportunity, because there are so many millions of people that wish to be here, that wish to be in your place, where you are right now, receiving the same opportunities that you have, raising a flag of somebody who hates us, hates everything we stand for. I cannot understand their logic. I can't. If you don't want to be a friend of the standards that we have in this country, why are you here? I made this point to say the same thing in relationships. Why do you get involved into a friendship when you are not committed to respect, to trust, to invest in that relationship? Remember, it's all about the hip. So the devil left Jesus. And by the way, your enemies will leave you. The friends will come close. Depends on the values that you have. If you are cheap, cheap stuff will come your way. If you're precious, valuable things will come your way. That's the rule about relationships. So the devil left Jesus, and angels, of course, came and took care of him. Same thing happened to Elijah. Remember Elijah? He was running from Jezebel. By the way, if you read about Jezebel, I think every man will run from that lady. She was the she-devil. I think she is the worst. If you will try to make an image of the devil, a feminine image, Jezebel is number one. She was evil, that lady. And I feel sorry for Ahab. The guy was bad, but she said she was going to kill Elijah. Elijah ran. He took off. And the Bible says that angels, first the birds came to feed him, and then there was a time the angel came to give him food. And he ate 2 days, and then the Bible says that the food that he ate left him was good enough for 40 days and 40 nights. So I talked about one Elijah and another Elijah. Jesus is a symbol of Elijah too. So it brought my attention. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil. And what happened? He will leave you. He doesn't want to be your friend. If you will love God, the devil wants nothing to do with you. That's the best way, the best defense against evil is to be close to what is good. John 1 verse 29 says this, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.'" This is the next step. Jesus spent 40 days, 40 nights preparing for this day. And he came from the east. Remember, the name of Jesus is Yahshua, or Joshua, that's his name. He comes to the east, going west, to the Jordan. And he gets into the water. John sees him, and John makes a statement that was waiting 4,000 years to be said. 4,000 years to say, "Behold, here is the promise that God made in Genesis 3:15. Behold, here is the Lamb. Here is your friend. Here is how you become restored to the family, to the friendship, the eternal friendship between your Creator and the creature. Here's the one who's trying to bring us together, who takes away the sin of the world. Sin is what breaks friendship. That's what sin is all about. And so he came, calling his disciples. Then, after he was baptized, by the way, you notice that he was baptized, John said something correct. And by the way, John was not Baptist. If somebody told you that he was a Baptist, he was not. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, okay? So John, the Seventh-day Adventist, said to Jesus that I am not worthy to baptize you, because you have no sin. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said this, "John, let all righteousness be fulfilled." What Jesus meant is that I am here to bring everybody into a friendship with God again. Those that would never had opportunity to be baptized, I'm taking their place. Those that are guilty and do have opportunity to be baptized, I'll take their place on the cross. So I'm here for the innocent, and I'll be there for the guilty one. In that way, all righteousness, I will be a friend for everyone. So Jesus called his disciples. Right after he was baptized, he started to make some friends because he needs some help. Simon, when he called Peter, then Andrew, Peter's brother, then James and John, sons of Zebedee, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew, the tax collector, and also, in parentheses, a sinner, according to the mean people, and Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and of course, the two Judas, one Judas that is son of James, and the other Judas that you all know about, and that's what is in red. You can see about this in the text. I put it in the bottom. It all talks about when Jesus chose. Why was Jesus already choosing people that everybody said they were sinners? People short-tempered. People that were mean. Why is Jesus collecting this bunch to help him? The question was, why is Jesus calling a tax collector to be his disciple? And I don't know how many of you took time to read the book of Matthew. I'd like to encourage you to look at the book of Matthew. And when you read the book of Matthew, think, here's a Jewish that is a tax collector. Here's the individual that I was rejected many by his own church. He was labeled the enemy, just because he worked for the Romans, the enemies. So that's why they were seen as a sinner. This was the story of Jesus calling Matthew, the tax collector, to be his disciple. You see that also in Matthew chapter 9, Mark 2, and Luke chapter 5. Jesus sat down to eat with Levi. When Jesus called, he just came to the place where Levi was there collecting taxes. Jesus says, follow me. Just like that, follow me. Do you know why he said to that individual, follow me? Jesus had met him before, because Jesus had passed by there a few times. Jesus had noticed. Jesus has read his personality. And Jesus decided he needs to be with me. I wonder how many times Jesus passed by you and said to you, you need to be me, with me. You need to follow me. Jesus sat down to eat at Levi's house. Many tax collectors, because, you know, Levi, when you are a tax collector and nobody else wants to talk to you, you go and talk to another tax collector. So tax collector, remember what I said, you know, if you have things in common, you become friends. So here's Levi giving a very nice lunch or dinner, I don't know, to Jesus. And all tax collectors said, oh, am I invited? Yeah, Matthew said, oh, yes, come. And they were there. And then say, the sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciple. Indeed, many of them had become his followers. Many of them, who is them? We always talk about the them here. D-H-E-M, who are them? The sinners, the tax collectors. Many of them became followers of Jesus. Not all. It doesn't say all of them. Many of them were there because they wanted the food. Have you ever some of those friends that only come for the food? They are not really friends. I gave a Bible study for someone. I mentioned his name here before. Over 3 years. And finally he decided, and I said to him, why took you so long? He said, I was waiting for my wife to decide because we are one. So we want to be together. When we get into the water, we want to be together. And so they were both baptized. But as I was studying his house, one individual came from the back door, not related to him, just so-called friend. And came and just without a say hi or anything, just went straight to the refrigerator and opened the door and kept looking. And all those people do not know about electricity, they opened the door and kept looking and all the cool air comes out. And hey, Joe, no beer? And then he says, I heard the man say, there is milk, you're welcome to have some. Who wants milk? And he left and never came back. It was a routine for this person to come into his house, go to the refrigerator, get a beer. Do you want one too? Here. Yeah. And sit down, you know, like boys. Dumb boys. I didn't say that, did I? And do those things. But he said, you are not fun anymore. His friendship was with the refrigerator. Was not really to the one who put the beer there inside. And you will find some people that will call you only when they have need. Not when you need them. They are not friends. But because the Son of Man goes around eating, drinking. By the way, drink here is not alcohol, okay? Don't put things into it there, okay? You say, Jesus eats and drinks too much. He's even a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Remember, this statement is verbatim, is quoting the people who does not love Christ. Don't misunderstand. This is a statement made by somebody who hates Christ and wants to label him a bad person. And what is the best way to label a person a bad person? Is to say, this is his friend. Look who he walks with. Look what he... And that's how they label Jesus. Jesus is bad because he has bad people around him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, look what a bunch. In other words, the church officers, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to complain. And they did complain very well. Look, this man welcomes sinners. If I would be there close to this person, this man looks welcome sinners. I say, yeah, he's inviting you too. Maybe you more than anybody else. You are the one who's supposed to be there because, talk about sinners, you are really master on it. You have a doctorate degree on it. He says, look, this man welcomes sinners and even eats with them. How dare him to eat them, implying that he is with sinners. Therefore, if you eat with them, you're eating unclean things. The implication here is that he is unclean and he's eating. So he is completely unholy. We should despise him. We are supposed to walk away from him, not follow him or listen to him. Proverbs 16, verse 28, Good News Translation says, gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and they break up friendships. That's what the Pharisees was masters. And by the way, the Pharisees are not dead. There are some that still come to church. Don't be naive. Pharisees is still around, and sometimes even in the pulpit. So don't think that that is done. It is still going. Sometimes the most effective gossip is when somebody dresses so well that it looks like the person has good intentions. I'm doing this for the good of the church. I'm doing this because, and they give all sorts of justification. You are to paint evil in such a color that becomes attractive. A friend of sinners. Religious authorities like the Pharisees use the phrase in a negative slur to ruin Jesus' name and also his ministry. Sometimes we, without realizing, we get into the same mood. We criticize the Adventist church. Sometimes we hear in a YouTube a remark against the somebody in the leadership, and we take that incident and we paint the whole church with it. Because one bad sheep decides to do something bad, we go and we become instruments of destroying the friendship that Jesus Christ has with his church because he gave his life for this church. Amen. Don't join in those that are trying to destroy the body of Christ. There is imperfection inside of the church. With the church, no. But with the church members, yes. The church is biblical. The members may not. So don't blame the Bible for the behavior of those that holds the Bible in their hands. There are a lot of people holding Bibles and they have no clue what is inside. They have no clue. Jesus responds to these people. He accepts the insults as a description of his true mission. He stated that he came to call the sick. Yes, I'm with the sick because I am the physician. I create them and I know how to fix them. I don't know, I hope none of you have going through the experience ever in your life. You know that once in a while, they have a recall for a car. because there is an issue in somewhere, they recall. There is a specific place that you have to take the car, right? You cannot choose, I'll take to any dealer. No, you have to be specific, or you have to pay the bill if you don't. Why they want you to take that particular dealer? Says, we built it, we know what is the problem, we know how to fix it. Remember, who creates you is the only one who can help you to be properly fixed. Amen. Go to him, he is your friend. He stated that he came to call the sick, not the healthy one. You know, those that pretend to be healthy. By the way, those that pretend to be healthy, they are really the sick ones. Meaning he came to bring grace to the one who repent. Pay attention to this. Many people think, oh, Jesus embraced the sinners. And it doesn't matter if you continue sin. That is the devil speaking. Every single person in the Bible that Jesus Christ came to was to help them to move out of their disaster behavior and healing to those who needed God. The Spirit of God is upon me, Jesus Christ said, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And now that I'm here to send them free, we have the Pharisees try to block the way and recall the sight of the blind, to send free the oppressed. It doesn't matter if you're a tax collector. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are oppressed by an enemy, your friend wants to set you free. I have to come to call not those who think they are righteous. Why Jesus didn't come to help the righteous? Because there is no one righteous. Jesus didn't come here to find no one. He came to find someone. Have you noticed that always there is a distinction between somebody and nobody? And that nobody wants to be somebody, but they are continue insisting always to be nobody? If you want to be somebody, always talk to somebody. Be a friend of somebody, but don't be a friend of nobody. Only nobody likes to be with nobody. I have come to call not those who think they are somebody, but I came to call those that needs me, those that needs help, those that wants to repent, those that wants to have a new life. Those are the ones I came to look for. Some friendships do not last, but some friends are more loyal than brothers. Friend of sinners. Today, religious leaders, like the Pharisees of the past, are taking the divine truth of Jesus, was and is a friend of sinners, and twist it around and turn it into a disgraceful and unbiblical evil teaching. Today, there are people saying, oh, come to us the way you are. You don't need to change. And people come to church and they bring all their baggage. And instead of getting rid of it, they start distributing part of their baggage with other members. And pretty soon, the whole church collapses because they see the church not as a hospital to provide healing, but a hospital for people to share their diseases. That's not a hospital. I think you all understood exactly what I said, right? You understand the point. Just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the minds of each other. Happy are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where sinners go, who don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teachings, and they think about those teachings day and night. I like this version, New Century Version, Psalm 101. A truly good friend will openly correct you. Please don't forget this. A truly good friend will openly correct you. I'm going to be biased here a little bit, okay? A true good pastor would not be ashamed to tell you the truth no matter how bad it hurts you. A true good pastor doesn't come to before the pulpit to entertain you, but to tell you, you are my friends. Amen. And I need to tell you that you need to seek Jesus Christ as your true friend. Amen. You can trust a friend who corrects you, but kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. Be careful with those that are never, they are always afraid to tell you what is wrong with you. They always assume that everything is right to make you feel good. Be careful, you're being deceived. So you are not loyal to God. You should know that loving the world is the same thing as hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world, you become God's enemies. God does not accept compromise. God does not want to share his friends with his enemies. Friends are supposed to be with friends. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And my brothers and sisters, do you know why we call each other brothers and sisters? Because somebody made us his friend. We become friends because we are joined by the same hip. We are of the same hip. If you look into membership, there is a hip there. Ownership, there is a hip there. Discipleship, there is a hip. There is a hip. We are joined together until Jesus Christ comes. Let's all get together when he comes at 3:00, the right side of the tree of life. I'll see you there if you're seeking the same friend that is my friend. God bless. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and also I'm sharing him with you, so he's yours too. So let's stand and sing.